Let's talk now about the diffusion of information and behaviors across our social networks. We know that our networks are dynamic and changing and adapting over time. We know that we have groups and subgroups in our social networks, and they emerge due to some dynamics such as homophily, which is the tendency to interact with other nodes with whom we feel that we share some common characteristics, and preferential attachment, which means that those nodes that are well connected tend to receive even more nodes as the network develops over time. So we know that our networks are not static, they change over time, and the structure always, most of the time, has an uneven distribution of connections. The question we have here is about social contagion, which is the spread of ideas, attitudes, behavior patterns in a group through imitation and conformity. How does it happen? Some questions that we may raise. Do viruses and behaviors spread in the same way? Do simple and complex information spread in the same way? What research has shown us is that the answer to both questions is actually no. So let's take one study by Chantola, 2018. Let's take a look at this three network structure. We have a densely connected network. Here it seems like almost everyone is in contact with everyone else. Is a densely connected network. If you have C, we have a network that's highly divided in clusters, in subgroups. And we have B, which is something in between. We have subgroups, we have clusters, but there are many bridges across the clusters. There are like strong ties and close bridges connecting the different clusters in a network. And then we may think, what does it tell us about diffusion? Let's say you were talking about a virus and a complex information. What kind of network structure would facilitate the spread of a virus? And at that point, with the experience we got with the COVID-19 pandemic, we can say that a densely connected network facilitates the spread of viruses and simple information. But it might not be the case when it comes to complex information and changes of behavior. What research has shown us is that a network B, which is a balanced network, where we have the local clusters, we have local interactions, but it's still like bridges through which information can flow, is the one that facilitates the spread of behaviors and complex ideas in social networks. Why so? That's a good question. What do we have in network B that we don't have in A and we don't have in C? Two things. First, we have the local interactions, which we have something called social reinforcement, which we do not have in the same way in network A. Second, we have bridges, wide bridges through which information can actually spread that we don't have in network C. So a network structure that facilitates the emergence of and spread of new patterns of behavior would look like a network B. We may think that a network structure B seems to be more adaptive and more able to respond to environmental changes than in other networks. But now we have talked about something called social reinforcement that we have not talked about before. Yes, the importance of social reinforcement. Complex social contagion involves social reinforcement from more than one adapter. So we have the local clusters in which people develop relations of trust, common language. And these are usually the spaces of social reinforcement that importance for nurturing new ideas and new behaviors. However, we also need the wide bridges through which those ideas, those behaviors, can actually move to other parts of a network. We have talked about the weaknesses of long ties and the strengths of weak ties. Complex contagions depend primarily on the width of bridges across a network, not just their length. But you also recognize the strength of weak ties in spreading simple information. Social reinforcement. Yes, in this moment when social network analysis and behavior analysis have a lot to learn from each other. Network analysts usually talk about social reinforcement, but without really defining it. On the other hand, there's an increasing interest in social structure in behavior analysis. And that's the moment when behavior analysis has a lot to learn and a lot to gain from social network analysis. So that's a relation. A structural perspective explaining behavior, homophily, preferential attachment, and network structure analysis. This is what social network analysis has to offer to behavior analysis. But that also goes the other way around. Behavior analysis provides a framework to analyze network data, interlocking behaviors, contingencies of reinforcement, evolutionary processes beyond rational behavior. So what we have now is a rich space for communication between social network analysis and behavior analysis. And there's a lot to explore, and we are now in a very exciting moment in our research field, so there's a lot of space for your own contribution. Other important concepts in social network analysis. Robustness, which the degree of a system to withstand unexpected internal and external perturbations without a degradation in system performance. It's a system capacity to actually keep functioning in spite of an internal or external perturbation. But then we also have resilience. Resilience, well, now we're talking the language of evolution. We're talking about the system's capability to recover and regenerate its structure, behaviors, after an unexpected perturbation. Here we're talking about change, about learning. And one question we may raise, what's being kept, what's being learned that will help us to actually cope with the next crisis, in the next unexpected events? As I said, so here is a space where you can have your contribution and a lot of unanswered questions in a very exciting moment in our research area. And I think we'll be more than glad to have your contribution in our field. Thank you.